It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
True revival. What is real revival? What happens when God really visits a place, a group of people, a church, a community? What are the signs of real revival? Michael Brown, thrilled to be with you today, coming away live from Pensacola, Florida. Got in from Germany Monday night, turned around Tuesday night to fly into Pensacola for a few days to spend a good amount of time alone, seeking the Lord, getting some rest, and talking to you every day on the line of fire. So we'll be coming your way live, but from Pensacola this week, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me at Dr. Brown. It's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Okay, when we moved as a family from Maryland down to Pensacola in 1996, end of 96, beginning of 97, and being lifetime New Yorkers before that, I was confronted with a Southern Christian phenomenon. You have it other parts of America, but especially in Southern Christian circles in the Bible Belt, this idea of holding a revival. We're going to hold a revival next week. Oh, we've got a revival scheduled every year on the church's anniversary. Or, in other words, hold a series of special meetings and call that revival. Well, that's not revival. It's a series of special meetings. You can call it what you want, but it has nothing to do with traditional historic revival where God visits, God moves in an exceptional, unusual way and does extraordinary things in the lives of people. And I would tell people as I would teach week in, week out in the midst of what was known as the Brownsville Revival, I would tell people week in, week out, you can no more hold a revival than you can hold a hurricane. You can no more schedule a revival than you can schedule an earthquake. Revival is not something man works up. Revival is something God sends down. That being said, when God does send down revival, almost invariably there's controversy. In fact, Arthur Wallace, in his excellent book, In the Day of Thy Power, said if something claims to be a revival and is not spoken against, in keeping with the prophecy over Jesus, his own life in Luke 2, 34 and 35, if something claims to be a revival and is not spoken against, check again to see if it really is a revival. In other words, revival inevitably is going to bring controversy. There are going to be things that happen that seem unusual. What are signs of real revival? Jonathan Edwards had to deal with this in the 1740s, in the midst of the Great Awakening, because unusual things happen. Now, unfortunately, some prominent writers have misrepresented or misunderstood what Jonathan Edwards said, and there's really no question about it when you study it carefully. He was not saying that unusual phenomena are a sign that something is not revival. If people shake or fall or scream out or things like that, he didn't say that's a sign that is not revival. He said it doesn't prove that it is revival. And even if weird things happen, it doesn't prove it's not revival. He said, don't judge by the part, but judge by the whole. On my Facebook pages today, my personal page, and then the Ask Dr. Brown page, if you're on Facebook, connect with us that way because it's very time-sensitive. We can get out announcements. We can hear back from you in a time-sensitive way. So just do a search on Facebook for Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. And you can join in the discussions that take place there many days of the week. I asked people if they were touched in Brownsville, because here I am in Pensacola. Those who weren't familiar, from Father's Day of 95 into the year 2000, there was a massive outpouring that took place in Brownsville Assembly of God, and through there touched people around the world. We had people from over 120 nations come, cumulative attendance of probably more than 3 million people, well over 300,000 people at conservatively responded to the altar call, repenting, getting right with God, which included believers getting sin out of their lives, which included backsliders coming back to God, which included first-time converts. Many of these people we know, we've watched their lives. They're on the mission field. They're serving God around America. They've been transformed. In the midst of it, though, there's controversy. Is this a real move of God or not? Unusual things are happening. Jonathan Edwards said, you can't judge by that. You cannot throw something out because there's a weird thing that happens in the name of revival or someone goes to an extreme. And he said, you can't say it must be revival because there are unusual manifestations. He said, no, those are non-signs. They don't prove things either way. There are ways that you can evaluate what is really and truly revival. So when I posted the question on Facebook, were you touched in Brownsville, immediately started getting in some amazing testimonies here. And let me just read a couple of them to you. I'll probably read some more as we go on. Oh, let's see here. Russell writes, God absolutely changed my life through the Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. I was in rebellion and on my way to hell when I responded to the call of repentance and salvation by Brother Steve Hill in the summer of 1996. In other words, it wasn't a call just to have a happy experience, have a spiritual high. It was a call to get right with God. He said, God completely saved me and changed my life. This back in 96. I got into his word, devoted my life to prayer, went to Brownsville Revival School of Ministry a couple years later. That's the school that I helped plant and lead during those years. And he says, I have been privileged since to work for the Lord as a youth pastor, evangelist, lead pastor, plant two congregations, and now the National Director of Christ for All Nations in Orlando, Florida. Praise God for the genuine moving of the Holy Spirit that convicts sin and changes lives. That's that sounds like something God did. How about this from Johnny? My life was powerfully touched by the Brownsville Revival. God touched me outside waiting in line. Whoa, what do you mean waiting in line? Well, people would begin to get online at 6 a.m. to wait for the services that would start at 7 p.m. I kid you not. Get online at 6 a.m. They'd wait 12 hours till the doors opened at 6 p.m., and then the service would begin at 7, and that service would normally last well past midnight. This went on steadily for years. God was drawing people. It wasn't advertising. It wasn't hype. It was the Holy Spirit changing people's lives. Johnny says, God touched me outside waiting in line. No one had even prayed for me. I was under the power of God for 7 days and nights before that touch lifted. That impartation has never left my life. I came home with a greater boldness, passion, increased anointing, and those that I prayed for would experience the same thing I experienced with the revival. Some would be under the power for 3 days or 5 days. Some people would just walk in the room and the Spirit of God would come upon them. It was a truly wonderful time in God. We saw healings, deliverances, impartations, just the fire spreading. But we also saw resistance and difficulty. God started to move and religion started to resist. It was after the Spirit came upon Jesus that he was led into his wilderness, but he came out in the power of his Spirit. Now I'm looking again for more, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Do it here. Those sound like some pretty dramatic testimonies. But in the midst of the meetings, some things happen that would seem unusual. People crying out. Sometimes during prayer, people falling to the ground. People weeping in repentance. People shouting and jumping for joy and freedom in the Lord. Some people shaking uncontrollably. I mean, is that God? Is that just human emotion? Is that the devil? Listen to what Richard Lovelace said in an important book about the dynamics of spiritual renewal. He said, almost every major revival recorded has been surrounded by an aura of irregular religious activity and has also been centrally affected by elements of weakness and sin. As a result, successive eras of church leaders have found it easy to immunize themselves and their followers against awakening movements by applying caricatures stressing the worst features of past revival. In other words, you say, well, the Great Awakening or the Second Great Awakening or the Prayer Revival 1857-58 or these or the Welsh Revival 1904-1905 or Azusa Street 1906 into the 1910 thereabouts. Well, those, you know, they're extremes or some unusual things happened or... And so we're very skeptical of revival. We just rather teach the Word and have a steady life and we don't want these spiritual ups and downs. So I understand that mentality. But John Bonar said this, it is too much for the clay to assume to itself the judgment of how it befits the potter to work. If the careless are brought to repentance, the profane to holiness, the unclean to purity, If the old man with his deeds is put off, and the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, is put on, that is the work of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the truth as it is in Jesus. The manner in which these things may be wrought in us or in others may be designed by God to try even his own people as to whether they will know his hand amid the imperfection with which every work of God is marred when it passes through the hands of men. How do we separate truth from error? How do we discern what is a true move of God, what is not? What are signs of true revival? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll have to talk about today. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way live from Pensacola, Florida, the home of a tremendous revival called by some church historians today the longest-running, largest local church revival in history. It began Father's Day 1995 and lasted well past 99 into the year 2000, with the fruit remaining to this day, which is one of the questions of how you evaluate a move of God. You have to look for long-term fruit, which means you can't make all your decisions right at the moment. You can say, I believe this is God, or this seems to be an outpouring for this reason, this reason, this reason. But ultimately, let's look at the fruit. Excuse me, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you have personally a testimony where God dramatically touched you in a true revival movement? How do you know it was genuinely God? What's happened? How do you determine the difference between that and, say, mass hysteria, mass emotionalism, manipulation, some demonic counterfeit? How can one tell what is true and what is not? First, let me give you what I have used for years as a working definition of revival, okay? Revival is a season of unusual divine visitation, resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Can I read that again? Revival is a season of unusual divine visitation, resulting in deep repentance, supernatural renewal, and sweeping reformation in the church, along with the radical conversion of sinners in the world, often producing moral, social, and even economic change in the local or national communities. Now, you might say, well, what do we need revival for? Let's just enjoy the goodness of God on a daily basis. Let's just go step by step, walking with him. Let's be steady disciples. Who needs revival? Well, ideally, if we could walk with perfect steadiness, ideally, if we could walk in consistent obedience and always keep the fire burning and always remain deeply devoted to Jesus, we wouldn't need revival. We wouldn't need seasons of unusual outpouring. We wouldn't need seasons of unusual visitation, because we would be steadily on fire, burning brightly. Charles Finney said revival presupposes declension. He said it presupposes that the church is sunk down in a backslidden condition. Revival consists in the return of the church from her backslidings and then the conversion of sinners. In other words, sadly, it's church history, it's human nature, it's reflected in the New Testament as well. A backsliding often sets in among God's people. Compromise often sets in. Coldness often sits in. Lukewarmness often sits in. Worldliness, discouragement, tiredness to the point that we lose our fervor. Just think of the book of Revelation. This is written at the end of the New Testament period, so most scholars would say around towards the end of the first century. So just within, say, roughly 60 years of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and yet five of the seven congregations in Asia Minor are rebuked with repent or else. Backsliding had set in, ranging from leaving first love to spiritual pride and deception to immorality to doctrinal error. This was within 60, 70 years of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. This is when we would say John, maybe, probably the only one but, of the apostles, was still alive. But you had the disciples of the apostles in ministry at that time. It is something that sadly happens. And we begin to cry out, something's missing. Something's wrong. There has to be more. There must be more. We begin to cry out. We begin to seek the face of God. And we say there must be more. In fact, if you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, we have a bunch of revival resources online. Many messages that I preached, 40, 50 hours worth of messages that I preached that you can listen to for free online. Just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire. You'll see a link for revival resources. And there's a message I encourage you to listen to called Holy Desperation, one of the strongest messages that God gave me to bring in the Brownsville revival. And many hearts were stirred. I just read a testimony on Facebook that someone brought that message up in particular as to how God stirred their hearts. He stirred mine, that the Lord was at work. And in fact, Joe, if we've got this clip ready, I just want you to hear the beginning of the altar call. And we actually have a video link on YouTube where you can watch the altar call for Holy Desperation. You want to see what people are responding to? It wasn't a call just to have fun or to frolic in the spirit or to get drunk on new wine. No, it was a call to go after God. So here I'm just about to give the altar call. Then you'll hear people beginning to come forward and cry out to God, recognizing something's missing. There must be more. Go ahead, Joey.
If you're backslidden, if you're bound by sin, this is your time to come. But every single one in the balcony, in the choir loft, in the main section here, I don't care if you're on the platform, I don't care who, now is the time to come. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you just have to see a breakthrough, if you can't live any longer the way you've been living, if you must see God come and change you and change your surroundings and come in power and visit, I want you to get to this altar right now from all over this building. I don't want you to wait for a minute. And when you get down, get on your knees and begin to cry out to God. Begin to lift your voice to God. Begin to lift your voice to God. Come down. Come down from the balcony. Find a place. Get up close. Get up close. Step out. When it gets filled, fill the aisles. Come on. Oh! I can't let you go. I won't let you go until you bless me. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. No one else can do it for you. Come on down from the balcony if you're hungry and thirsty. Step out from the pews. If you're not right with God, if you don't know Him, if you were to die right now and you're lost, get on your knees and say, God, save me. God, help me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If you're backslidden, if you're cold, if you're bound by sin, I tell you, the Bible is clear. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Oh, lift your voice. Ushers, help me get him down the aisles. Oh, God. If this is different for you, cry out however you know how.
All right, you can watch that altar call. I encourage you, take a few minutes today, listen to the message, Holy Desperation. Look, I am not on the radio daily to entertain. I'm not on the radio daily because I don't have anything else to do and because I figure you have nothing else to do. No, we want to see an impact in people's lives. I'm not here to preach to you. We talk. This is talk radio, but the goal is ultimately impact. The goal is ultimately transformation of lives. The goal is ultimately that God changes us, we go change our world. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, listen to the message, Holy Desperation. If you only have a couple minutes, just click on the audio, the video link, watch the altar call, people crying out to God. We'll come back, talk about emotion, read some quotes from Jonathan Edwards, and discuss how to determine if something is true revival or not. Stay with us.
For fire we plead, stand in the fire. The fire.
the line of fire, Michael Brown, coming away live from Pensacola, Florida, where that very song you just heard, Send the Fire, was often sung by Lendell Cooley, the worship leader during what was known as the Brownsville Revival. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you've got a question, I've had folks call in or write to us privately and say, Dr. Brown, I respect you and I love the radio show, but I've read things about the Brownsville Revival, Pensacola. I hear you were part of that. I've heard weird things happen, or it wasn't a real move of God, or I heard about people barking like dogs and so on and laughing so you couldn't even hear the preaching. By the way, those things never happened in Brownsville, but you know, people have questions. They hear reports. I just played a clip from an altar call that I gave. Steve Hill, the evangelist, preached most every night during the revival. Certain nights I would speak, and this is an altar call, one of the messages where I spoke, people crying out to God. You guys, isn't that just like emotionalism? Isn't that people just get like super excited and you know, you get high for a little while and charged for a little while and yeah, this is great. But then you go back to your normal life. That would be true if it wasn't a real move of God. That would be true if it wasn't real outpouring and revival. Here's testimony someone sent out on Facebook. One of our grads, Janet, said this little Methodist girl was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, educated at the School of Ministry, and set on fire and ruined forever at Brownsville, meaning can't just go on with normal church life. Can't just go on with Christianity is a wonderful religion. I attend services on Sunday. No, you've got to meet with God and make him known. She said, born and raised in Pensacola, and the Lord decided to show up in my little hometown and touch the world. So thankful and grateful for all he did there in that town. I live my life as a living sacrifice to in some way pay back for all I saw and experienced there. Now, I want to put this in context. The first service where I attended meetings at the Brownsville Revival. One back to that excerpt there. I apologize. My entire internet connection through which I was communicating via Pensacola has gone out inexplicably. All wireless connections everywhere have just suddenly dropped out. Is this the work of the devil to try to stop me from talking about revival? Is it a technical problem? I don't know. But this is weird. There's not a single internet connection showing available anywhere, and that's how we were communicating with you from Pensacola. So sorry for that interruption. You got to hear a little bit more of a clip from the message, Holy Desperation. Again, if you will go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the line of fire, AskDrBrown.org, click on the line of fire, you'll see a whole bunch of free resources that you can listen to online. You can listen to the Holy Desperation message, but click to watch the altar call. Because this is what we lived and died for, so to say, was to see people cry out to God, get right with God. And the testimonies we have, thousands of testimonies of people who have been changed for years and years and years. So we come back on the other side of the break. I want to talk to you about how to evaluate. I'm going to give you four simple signs. Some came from Jonathan Edwards, and I thought about and meditated on it myself, looked at a way to even simplify some of his philosophical statements. Four simple ways to determine, is this thing really from God? Shaking, falling doesn't prove it is God, doesn't prove it isn't God. People crying out, getting emotional, doesn't prove it is God, doesn't prove it isn't God. Big crowds coming, doesn't prove it either way. Listen, let me also do this, make something available to you. If you purchase my book, Holy Fire, which is the most important book I've written on revival, Time for Holy Fire, we will give you absolutely free a copy of the Revival Answer Book. But you got to call in to do this. Here's the number, 888-378-FIRE. It's 888-378-3473. 888-378-FIRE. Order the Holy Fire Book. We'll send you the Revival Answer Book absolutely free along with it. All right, we'll be back. Stay with us.
Hey, friends. Michael Brown, back with you here on the Line of Fire. I apologize for the connection problems that we had today. We normally work things out pretty well for me to broadcast on the road, and I know sometimes folks enjoy it. I broadcast live from India. We're hoping later this year to broadcast live from Israel. But I apologize. We had some connection problems, so we were not up to our normal high quality. Hopefully the quality of what we're talking about, though, makes up for it. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about real revival, differences between true and false revival. And I want to give you four simple principles by which we can evaluate whether something is truly from God. I'm going to take a call in a moment, give you those principles. Here's someone posting on Facebook, Clay. I'm a BRSM grad, that's Brown's Revival School of Ministry grad, and my wife is a Fire School of Ministry grad. The school we started 96 in Pensacola, Brown's Revival School of Ministry, continues to this day in Concord, North Carolina, as Fire School of Ministry, with our same basic team that was there pouring into students back in 97 and beyond. He said that we were there from 97 on. Our lives were totally changed. We're currently in our seventh year of overseas work through Fire International in Charlotte, North Carolina. Here's a family touched through revival, touched in the schools of ministry that were raised up through revival, and now serving. They don't put the country where they are because it's sensitive as far as being missionaries there. 7 years now with this family, serving overseas, working sacrificially. Trust me, if you knew what they were doing, you'd understand this. And he said, Dad, meaning our Heavenly Father, is awesome. He has made our lives such an adventure. Why would we do anything else? Praise God for those words. All right, Carl in Waldron, Arkansas, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I was going to say real quick that you're online and it sounds okay.
All right, we're back you're online welcome. After everything dropped. But thanks, Carl, yeah. For the kind words.
Oh, no problem. I was going to tell you two things. One thing is that I didn't graduate, but I went to Steve Hill School in Dallas, Heartland.
Yeah, my son-in-law Ryan started that school, and he's one of our grads from our school in Pensacola. So same continuation there.
Yeah, and I met a lot of people. You know, Joe Oden. I don't know if you know these people, Fabian and Angela Cummings. You know, they're from Brownsville.
Yeah, and know them well.
Yeah, they were so on fire. And I wanted that fire, and, you know, I think, and I don't know what you feel about this, but it all starts with personal revival. You know, it's what you have inside, what you are eager to get from God, and you get that, and that's what big revival starts from, personal revival, you know, revival.
Someone gets ignited. Someone has to get ignited first. You're absolutely right, Carl.
Right.
Someone gets ignited, and then the fire spreads to others, and even when we talk about corporate revival, that's just a lot of individuals getting touched and transformed. And what you're talking about, some of these young men and young women that were touched in Brownsville, were dramatically saved as a result of revival. I know some of their stories personally, and some were touched overseas through what God was doing, some back here in the States. But as a result of it, the fires burned in their hearts and they're soul winners.
Right.
And they're passionate for Jesus and making a difference. Hey, Carl, it's great to hear from you. I will tell my son-in-law Ryan that we got a call from you. God bless you, man. So let's talk about this. Let me say again, crowds coming to a meeting doesn't prove it's from God or not from God. An emotional display or lack of emotional display does not prove it's from God or not from God. Jumping, shouting, running, falling, weeping, shaking doesn't prove it's God, doesn't prove it's not God. It's what Jonathan Edwards dealt with clearly in his book in 1741 on what distinguishes a real work of God. I would give you four basic principles by which to evaluate whether something is truly a revival or not. And we'll finish on the other side of the break. Number one is the Jesus of the scriptures being exalted. When the Holy Spirit moves, he exalts Jesus. He said this again, when the Holy Spirit moves, he exalts Jesus. He draws attention to Jesus. Is the Jesus of the scriptures being exalted? The devil hates that. The devil opposes that with all his might. Is the Jesus of the scriptures being exalted? Are people being drawn to the Son of God who was crucified for our sins, who rose from the dead, who ascended on high, who is the Lord of all, the only way to salvation? Is the Jesus of the scriptures being exalted? If he is, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work. I'll give you three more. on the other side of the break. If you'd like to get today the book Holy Fire, Time for Holy Fire, my most important book on revival, and along with that, absolutely free, the Revival Answer Book that answers all the controversial questions, give us a call, 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. We will give you a free copy of the Revival Answer Book today with your order of Holy Fire. Stay with us. We will be back. Joining us today on the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, coming your way live from Pensacola, Florida, which got me thinking about the subject of revival. As I was flying in yesterday from Charlotte to Pensacola, speaking to a young lady in the Navy, she'd only been there 2 years, so I began to tell her the history of what God had done in the city, especially from 95 to 2000, explained in those days that some restaurants started to open 24 hours to stay out late because of crowds flocking in from around the world to be part of the revival. I told her about the lines that would form beginning 6 a.m. in the morning. By the way, people used to get online earlier than 6 a.m. They'd leave the service 1, 2 in the morning, grab a bite at some all-night place, and then come back in their sleeping bags and start to camp out 3, 4 in the morning, and church couldn't provide security at that time, so they said they can't get online before 6. Just wait online 12 hours for the building to open at 6 p.m., for the service beginning at 7 p.m. That's the level of hunger and thirst. And people came around the world to be touched by God, not for hype, not for show, not for spectacle, for silly manifestations, but to encounter God. Were there things happening that were unusual? Some. Perfectly usual others, but that didn't prove anything. What proved things was the examination of scriptural principles and long-term lasting fruit. Remember, if you go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire for today, we've got a link to many, many revival-related messages that are preached online absolutely free, a link to the Holy Desperation message, and a link to the altar call on video, the Holy Desperation message that someone put on YouTube. Check those out. You'll be ministered to. You'll be strengthened, challenged in God. So, four basic signs to evaluate whether something is truly revival or not. Number one is the Jesus of the Scriptures being exalted. Number two, are people being drawn to the Word of God? In other words, are they being drawn to a hunger and thirst for Scripture and to live under the authority of Scripture? Let me say again, Satan doesn't do those things. Satan opposes that. So when you see people being drawn to the Word and now hungering for the Word and desiring to read the Word and meditate in the Word and get the Word and submit to what's written in the Word, that comes from God. The flesh can't produce that. The devil doesn't do it. The house divided against itself won't stand. Number three, are people repenting of sin? When people are turning from sin in response to a message, whether there was emotion or not, shaking or pulling or not, that's not what you look at. You look at, were they changed? Did they repent of sin? And number four, do they have a burden for the lost? Again, when these things happen as a fruit of being in a meeting, maybe you go to a service, you don't know what's happening, it's loud, it's different, the music's different, the preaching's different, but your friends are coming back saying, I just love Jesus, I just want to live for God. And they're in the Word, and they're praying, and they're witnessing to the lost. And that thing continues for years. Friends, Satan didn't do it. People used to challenge us and say, well, you don't really have any proof. I mean, it's just been a few days or a few weeks. Well, I'd say to someone, well, it's been a few years. That, well, we don't really know. Well, hang on. Now it's been over 10 years. Now it's been, for some, 15 years. Now some of these people that were touched and saved during the revival have been missionaries on the field for more than 10 years, and they have converts in the Lord that are 8, 10 years old. Friends, the fruit is undeniable. When Jesus moves powerfully, there is wonderful, lasting fruit. We got a bunch more things I want to talk to you about during this week. I may even bring up the volatile issue of the City Council in New York approving the building of a mosque right on what is ground zero. You're talking about the World Trade Center, more than 3,000 people killed by Muslim terrorists, building a mosque? Come on, is it possibly right? We may get into that tomorrow. Let me get some resources into your hand. Give us a call at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. If you get a copy of my book, Time for Holy Fire will give you a free copy of the Revival Answer Book with that. These books will stir you and inform you and educate you as well. Take advantage of the free resource that we have posted on the Line of Fire website. And let's pray God would visit us, shake us, change us, draw us close to Jesus, send us out, change this world. Isn't it about time?